Good morning and a blessed Good Friday to you. Oh, you forgot it was Good Friday. Well, that's all right, because Jesus prayed for you and for me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have a special Bible study roundtable today here on our Bible study program. We're going to go all the way till 12 noon, after which we'll bring you a full live broadcast of a Traore service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Morganport in St. Louis. That'll take us to 3. Then the St. Matthew Passion, a special presentation of that, will come up this afternoon from 3 to 6. So we have a good deal of programming designed for you here as we make our way along this Good Friday. We have two of our three roundtable participants who are with us here in the studio this morning, Pastor Warren Wirth, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Chuck.
I'm glad to have you along. You were on the air this morning.
So they tell me.
But it was recorded. But
I didn't know that.
I enjoyed listening to it. Pastor John Lukowski is here, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church, St. Paul Lutheran Church, I'm sorry, in New Athens, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chuck. Hey, well, I have a technical question to ask you. Is there a volume control on these headphones? Because apparently radio people are deaf.
Yeah?
Because this is really, really loud.
Is it really?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Maybe we get Gary in here.
Okay,
get somebody
that
in
sounds
here
good. That's can. Fine. Otherwise, I'll have to have one headphone on, one off, just so. And that kind of echoes through my head.
I've heard lately that the headphones are getting louder, so maybe it's just you.
Do you think my hearing's getting better as
yeah,
I get older?
I think that's probably what the case
is. I think it's you guys having these headphones on your head all day long. You're just getting deaf.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Pastor
okay,
Michael Waller
you.
Is the third party in our Bible study roundtable, and for those of you who are listening to us around the country, around the world, we have some highway issues here. They've torn up probably one of the most important highways in the area. It makes it a little difficult to get here. So he just called in, and he will be here shortly. And we look forward to his arrival, Pastor Michael Wall, the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. Now, the first thing we have to point out is that we have two Good Shepherds represented here, Arnold and Collinsville, and I think maybe we should leg wrestle to see who gets... You guys want to leg wrestle?
Well, he's taller than I am, so I'll concede the wrestling match to him.
All right. The gentleman... we're going to go in a certain direction here today, but before we do that, for those of us who forgot that this was Good Friday and heard me say that, said, oh yeah, it is Good Friday, isn't it? Forgot about that. Do you have a Good Friday meditation? Do you have a Good Friday attitude? When you got up this morning, you probably remembered right away that it was Good Friday. What was on your mind, Pastor Wirth, when you opened your eyes on this Good Friday?
Well, I was thinking that, yes, it is Good Friday. Of course, when your life's work is preaching the gospel and leading people in worship, it's pretty hard not to have that on your mind. And we had services last night, of course, for Holy Thursday, and with the celebration of the Lord's Supper and the stripping of the altar. And, of course, then after everybody else was gone, I stayed there and did some more studying and so forth. So it's very much, you know, part of everything we say and do. So it's hard not to think about it morning, noon, and night. But thank God, what a blessing to be able to have the gospel be what your whole life's work is about.
Well, let's be a little more specific. And let's not ask Pastor Warren Wirth as a pastor. Let's ask Pastor Warren Wirth the man. I mean, if you weren't a pastor, if this weren't your life's work, I'd like to think that Good Friday would still occur to you sometime, you know, after you opened your eyes this morning. Talk to me as Pastor Warren Wirth,
okay,
the man.
I will do that. Okay. For me, they're not two different people. They're the same person, one and the same, because I believe in the gospel not because I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor because I believe in the gospel, and God has called me to this blessed work. You know, certainly, I was raised, by the grace of God, I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church, you know, every Sunday and all the holy days, all during Lent and Holy Week and Good Friday. As a child, you know, this was just part of my upbringing, and having daily Bible readings and prayers and home devotions was just part of the way I was raised. So, and by the grace of God, again, even when I went away to college, this was, you know, part of my life. And so while our college didn't let off for Holy Week and Good Friday. Still, you know, we would spend time on our own with personal devotions, meditating on this, and attending worship services at University Lutheran Chapel and so forth. So it's always been a part of my life by the grace of God, having that upbringing. My family raised me that way. I had great pastors growing up, and while I was going to school.
Oh, you've been really blessed.
Very much so. And so,
not everybody has that advantage, you know that?
No, I thank God that that's been part of my upbringing, so it's hard for me to imagine not being that way. And I understand some of our listeners didn't have that upbringing, and so this is new to them. And so I hope that as they listen, it will be something that will help them grow in their understanding of our Christian faith and in the desire to hear God's word and to walk through this journey of the life of Christ that we have in the liturgical church year and in the readings that we have Sunday after Sunday and through the Lent and Holy Week and Easter, and to see how meaningful it is to have that as a part of your daily personal life, whether you're a pastor or not.
Pastor John Lukomsky, let's just skip the pastor stuff, okay? We know that you had Good Friday on your mind when you woke up this morning because you're a pastor.
Well, you know,
talk
actually,
to me, John Lukomsky, is there a human being inside that clerical garb?
See, here's the thing. Actually, when I woke up this morning, I was thinking, if I didn't have to come here and do this roundtable, I could have slept in.
Yeah.
Because my wife's the principal at Emmanuel Lutheran in Oakville, and of course she's got the day off. So the one day when, because she's usually up bright and early, which means then I have to be up bright and early. Actually, I kind of stay in the bed a little bit, but I'm already awake. That's what I was thinking. So John Lukomsky,
kind
the man.
Self-centered.
Pretty much, yeah. That's where I was at. But I have to really echo what Warren said. You know, this whole business of the three services, actually four services: Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and then we do the sunrise service. And honestly, yeah, during the day, sometimes I'm not focused on that because there's just all the other things that can be focused on. In fact, kind of disappointed that we're having all this rainy weather today, because when I get done here, I don't know what's going on for you, Warren. I'm pretty well done. I've got my shut-ins visit. I've got those things accomplished. Got to do some polishing on the sermon, some last-minute preparations for the Good Friday service tonight. But how's your week coming? Pretty good, are you? Fairly?
Yeah, well, we're getting there, but there's always last-minute stuff to
do. Oh, I know, and that's the thing, too. You think you've got it all done, and then the next thing, oh, I forgot to bring out the cross or whatever it is that needs to be. But so I was actually looking forward maybe to having a couple hours this afternoon to go bike riding even. I'm sorry, maybe that's not a really Christian thing to do on Good Friday. But I guess I could bike ride and be really sad while I was bike riding. anyway, I'm sorry. That there is this secular part of me that life goes on, and yet there's this other part of me that just really does the going through of the passion that we'll do tonight, the reading again of the text of the Lord instituting the supper. On Saturday night, we'll read these classic Old Testament stories of the great acts of salvation and stuff. And yeah, that's Pastor Lukomsky, the man. I just, those are so good to review and go over again. And I emphasized to my congregation on Sunday, I said, this is the only chance you're going to get to do it. You know, if you don't come to Maundy Thursday, it's over. It's done. You won't get to do it for another year. I relish that. I relish that.
Well, what would you say to me if, it's your assumption anyway that I'm a Christian, that I seem to...
Yeah, we wonder about that sometimes.
Well, you're right to wonder about it. You never really know. But if my perspective is today's Friday, and here's what it means to me. It means the Astros are in town. And a big ball game tonight. The Cardinals, they're out of the gate, 2-2. The jury's still out on a lot of things. The Astros are in town. And the Blues are trying to make the playoffs. They got a couple of huge games coming up. And, after we get done talking about that, there's a concert in town that, I'd like to attend. Good what? Good what? now, talk to me as a person who calls himself a Christian, but Good Friday is about 82nd on my list of priorities on this day. And I want you, don't look at me like that. I need you to be serious here.
Okay,
John's already decided he can't be serious.
He can't be serious. Okay. He'll give some levity here after I open my big mouth. For a person who calls himself a Christian and for whom the worship of the Lord and hearing his word is 82nd on his list of priorities, I would say, lovingly and humbly, let's try to get our priorities straight. Because, you know, some law and gospel needs to go on here. And the law is, you know, if hearing the word of God and meditating on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, his suffering and death on the cross, is that far down the list, and seeing all these games and attending all these other things is so much higher, then your priorities are kind of messed up. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian. You know, you can still be a believer in Jesus Christ and be weak in your faith, could maybe grow in your faith. And I guess we also can admit that what we celebrate here is not by command of the Lord. In other words, there's not a command in the Bible that we must celebrate and remember the crucifixion of Jesus on a particular day once a year. You know, the church year and the observances of these things are not commanded by God. And yet what a wonderful opportunity it is, now that we as Christians have decided we'll take the time to do this, to take advantage of the opportunity to come and hear God's word and to spend some time thinking about all that Jesus did for us and for our salvation. I mean, what better use of your time is there? That's not to say, you know, it's a sin to do something else or even take a sad bike ride on Good Friday. You know, one can go off the deep end and be legalistic about it. But as one who rejoices that, you know, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shed his blood on the cross to atone for my sins. And to take some time to think about that is not a matter of law, but for me, a matter of gospel. How wonderful it is to hear again that story. It's like eating. You know, if you would be so busy you couldn't eat today, I said, boy, I feel sorry for you. But we've got this great steak dinner going on over here. And if you'd rather, you know, sit down and take a bite, just take a little bit of time to sit down and have a bite of this wonderful meal, you know, I think you'd enjoy it. And what's going on in my mind is that when people are busy with these other things, they're missing out on the steak dinner, the wonderful feast that we have in God's Word as we think of all that God has done for us and for our salvation. And to be so caught up in worldly things is to starve the soul, in my opinion.
We're joined by Pastor Michael Walder, who is a pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. And we've been sort of going around the table here, Pastor, to get your personal take, not your pastoral take, not your official take, your personal take on Good Friday. What does Good Friday mean to Mike Walder? Not the sermon that has to be polished up for tonight, or the appearance that have to be changed, or whatever it is, but Mike Walder, the man.
I think that it's just, for me, a special time. We should think about the cross all of the time. We should always be thinking about what Christ has done for us. But it's good to take some time to really focus on that. And I think it's healthy for Christians to take breaks, retreats. And that's kind of what Good Friday is for me, a special time to break away from the things that I'm doing in the world and try to really reconnect with what Jesus did for me on the cross. And there's a lot of different ways that we probably, you know, find to do that in life. And I think we should explore different things along that way. When I was a little kid, one of the highlights of growing up for me was our church had a passion play every year. It was in Indianapolis, and it was in a big arena. And they had everything, horses and, you know, and it's always impressed with how they made that thunder, yep. You know, and when Jesus finally died on the cross. And I think those types of media presentations, prayerful retreats, all of those things can be a good way for us to give a little extra special attention to what Christ has done for us.
Well, the direction that I want to go here this morning that I'd like to address is the larger question. We're going to get specific here in a moment, but the larger question of what appears to be a real unraveling of biblical truth within the American culture. When I was a boy, and I suspect when you guys were young, everybody was a Christian. Nobody was ashamed of it. Everybody called himself a Christian. Some of them went to church more than others, just like they do now. But if you said to a friend of yours, well, I'm a Lutheran or I'm a Catholic or I'm a Presbyterian, you did not expect to be reviled for that or to be made to feel ashamed of that, but that has changed. We have gone through the last several decades sort of watching that arrive, but here in the last couple of years, research and statistical analysis seems to be indicating that maybe we've gone over the hump. And there's talk that young people in this country who are in their early 20s, as few as 4% of them carry a Christian identity or believe that the Bible is true. I am alarmed by this. Are you guys at all? Let's begin with you, Pastor Lukomsky. Are you? Is this just more of the same, or do you think, no, really, there's a trend here that's serious and alarming?
Well, I think there's no doubt that there is a trend. You know, I mean, every year when Barna or whoever it is that's doing the statistics tell us that we've got less and less people who are declaring themselves Christian, and you can see that trend continues year in and year out. So definitely there's a trend. I've got two feelings about that. First of all, it's not a trend that's really affected me. I'm sorry, I'm in small town New Athens, Illinois, an even smaller town, Darmstadt, Illinois. And people pretty much there are Christian, are as much as they've ever been Christian. I think for a long time Christianity was purely a cultural thing. It's what you did because it's what everybody did. Which brings me to my second point. I actually think these changes are wonderful, because I think Christianity is going to become what it is and what it should have been all along, which is truly an action of belief and faith, not just because...
What is it now that it shouldn't be?
Well, I think in the 50s it was primarily just a cultural thing. Everybody went to church, so you kind of picked out what church you were going to go to, Methodist or... Yeah, it was primarily a social thing. Well, it's not a problem. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think a lot of people attach themselves to churches simply because it was the thing you did. Everybody did it, and so you had to have some kind of association. And now I think Christianity is going to become what it really should be, is you go to church because you have faith.
So you're saying it's a matter of conviction instead of convenience.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like what you were saying earlier, Warren, too, if I could reflect back on his previous comment about going to Good Friday or having some sense of reverence for Good Friday. Warren used the word joy. And I mean, that's it. If I have to tell you that you should show some honor and respect for Good Friday, that's just a waste of effort. If you have to go to a Good Friday service, then no, there's nothing there of value for you. And I think that's what's happening in Christianity. That's what I think is exciting. I think we're finally having people that are really being Christian, going to Good Friday services, doing these things because, conviction. It's what they want to do.
So now we've got two people listening to us. One of them is saying, yeah, that's right, Pastor Lukomsky, you hit the nail right on the head. And the other person is saying, hey, let's go to a ball game. Pastor Lukomsky said we're free to do whatever we want.
Well, actually, that's the other comment I want to make, because Warren and I, before the program, were talking about the fact that, Mike, do you have a 3 o'clock service? Or an afternoon service?
4:30.
4:30, okay. And then an evening service as well? Because, you know, really, if you would have that, you could skip the evening service and go to the ball game.
Right.
Yeah. I'm thinking, Warren and I were debating that because we both have 7 o'clock services. We don't have the afternoon service. But really, you know, we could do that and we could go see the Astros. So thanks for that suggestion, Chuck. Appreciate
next
that.
Year.
Next year. Okay. Are you going to buy the tickets or am I buying the tickets?
I'm going to hear from Lynn. I'm going to hear from Lynn. Well, Pastor Wirth, how do you see this evolution that seems to be unfolding? And let's just take it one step further based on Pastor Lukomsky's comments. If the modern American church has been populated over the last several decades by pretenders or one foot in, one foot out kinds of folks who, given a little bit of adversity, are out. I'm not in this for trouble. I'm not in here for struggle. Could it be that there's a divine purge underway?
Ah, boy. You're really going to ask us to think some deep thoughts here. Could it be? Well, all kinds of things could be. You know, how do we know? And that's always the question. You know, God is able to work through circumstances, and we don't always recognize his hand. What I would say, as Pastor Lukomsky kind of was talking about this, is that the good side of a down negative event could be that if more of the people who are attending because of they're convinced and they're convicted of the truth, rather than just doing it out of convenience or for social reasons, that would be a good thing. But at the same time, you know, is God purging it, or is it, you know, the real purge could come when there's persecution? And I think all of us recognize, you know, that we've enjoyed religious freedom in this country so long that we take it for granted, and we can scarcely imagine what it would be like if suddenly, even in the good old U.S. of A., we lost our religious freedom, and suddenly it became illegal to preach Christ crucified. That would be considered hate speech. And if we were preaching not just our moral point of view, but also the specifics of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he was sacrificed on the cross to atone for our sins, he truly rose from the dead, and there is salvation in no one else. That is really the proclamation of the gospel. And that could be illegal. In fact, in many places in the world, it already is illegal. You can lose your life for saying that out loud in public.
It's not been just all that long ago, I think, where most folks in this country would have said, yeah, but that'll never happen here. But for the first time, certainly in my lifetime, maybe in this new century and last century, we have to admit that that is floating around out there on the horizon in our own country. Pastor Walter, have you given some thought to what it might mean to be arrested for your preaching?
I have given a lot of thought to that. In fact, I think...
That's kind of discouraging to hear you say that just in itself.
Not only that, but I have actually gone great lengths to try to train our leadership in our congregation, our board of elders in particular, to actually prepare for this mentally, spiritually. For example, little things like having our tax exemption removed and figuring out, well, what would our budget look like if we had to pay taxes on our property like every other business has to? That could easily happen within our lifetimes. I would not be a bit surprised at something like that occurring. That's a benefit that we enjoy, but there's no reason why we should assume things like that would happen. The other thing, though, that gets really serious is the kind of legal leveraging that people in power use against those ideas that they do not tolerate. And so I've talked about the challenge of what would it look like to conduct this ministry without our property, because, of course, that's what they'll do. They'll take it by way of courts and with lawsuits and things like that. So that's the next level that you have to think about, is a ministry without property, which is exactly the way the early church ministry operated. And, you know, we just have to think about those things and not say, well, that'll never happen. That's the worst thing we can do.
May I interrupt?
Well, no, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, because I was going to add something.
It's time for the bottom of the hour break here, so I'll be interrupting your interruption. That just certainly will not work. But I'd like for you to think about this during the course of this break, and we'll give you, Pastor Wirth, the first opportunity to respond to what Pastor Walter said. I would like you to think over these next 4 minutes, and you can do this evaluation however you want to do it. Think about your own congregation or just think about general experience that you've had over the years. But out of every 10 people who are sitting in an American church pew, out of every 10, how many actually understand what Christianity is all about? Is it, I'll make it easy on it, is it less than half or more than half? You're listening to a Bible Study Roundtable, Pastors Walter, Wirth, and Lukomsky, when we return.
The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Publishing House and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, South Jefferson and Miami and South St. Louis. CPH is the publishing arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Its purpose is to strengthen and aid member congregations in their proclamation of the gospel. CPH serves the family by providing Christ-centered materials that nurture Christian growth in the home. CPH and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts. CPH.org.
AMA 50KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this Good Friday, April 10th, 2009, Betty and Darwin Kopp. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to AMA 50KFUO in celebration of their 15th wedding anniversary and with thanksgiving to God for the message of hope that KFUO brings to this lost world and for growth and strengthening of their faith daily. Once again, a very special thank you to our AMA 50KFUO day sponsors, Betty and Darwin Kopp of Leesburg, Florida.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? are so much in the Bible about the events of Good Friday that we couldn't grasp it all even if we had the time. As always, it seems that St. Mark tells us the story most concisely about what happened for 3 hours when Jesus hung on the cross. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran to fill a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." I mentioned the word remembered yesterday. It's an interesting word. Quite literally, it means to be rejoined, remembered, to the powerful symbolism of an ancient story by reliving it. In this sense, we were all at the foot of the cross. One of the great spirituals asks us, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? And finally, were you there when they laid him in the tomb?" I've heard hundreds of songs and hymns, seen dozens of passion plays, and led decades of Good Friday services, yet it never gets old. Sometimes all of this causes me, with all of these years, to tremble, tremble, tremble. Lord, give us your grace to be sure, but first give us holy awe on this somber day. Teach us that because of what you did for us, it is actually a Good Friday. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and King. Amen.
AM 850 KFUO will honor a long-standing tradition again this year by broadcasting a live Traore, or three-hour Good Friday service. This year's broadcast comes from St. John Lutheran Church on Morgan Ford in St. Louis and runs from noon until 3 p.m. Our Traore service will be followed at 3 by a special presentation of the St. Matthew Passion by J.S. Bach. Be listening Good Friday for our Traore broadcast here on AM 850 KFUO. It's a special Good Friday Bible Study Roundtable. I'm Chuck Rathert. We will go for 2 hours on the subject of the day. Our guests are Pastor Warren Worth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Pastor John Lukomsky, St. Paul Lutheran Church in New Athens, and also Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, and Pastor Michael Walther, who is here today from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville. We had to interrupt Pastor Worth, who was, he was just like a thoroughbred in the gates, ready to come out there before the break. And so if you want to just backtrack a little bit, then, Pastor Worth, and go ahead and make your point.
Okay, well, rewind. Pastor Walther had been making an excellent point about preparing people for the possibility of persecution. And he talked about what would our budget look like if we didn't have tax-exempt status? What would happen if we didn't even have buildings anymore? How would you do church if we didn't have these things that we've taken for granted? And that got me all excited to say, you know, not only that, but what would happen if they killed the clergy and burned your books? And, you know, that kind of thing has actually happened in the past. You think of the Soviet Union and that what did the communists do when they came in and took over Russia? And what did they do? You know, they killed the clergy. They burned the books. They destroyed or took over their buildings. Did Christianity die? No, it did not. Okay, by the grace of God, the church survived even when the Berlin Wall finally came down after 70 years, you know, of communist rule in the Soviet Union and all this kind of stuff. You know, the empire can crash, but God's word and God's people who believe that word of God, especially the central message of Jesus Christ crucified and raised for us and for our salvation, they survived. And the question I think that we need to bring to our people is, how can we prepare people if something that awful would happen? And the answer that I was running to was catechesis. You know, Solzhenitsyn, who had been, come out of the Soviet Union as somebody who was, a Christian and he was against communism, but he also came to the West and criticized the West. He said, people in the West are soft. We've taken our privileged position and our freedoms for granted so long that we don't have the moral and spiritual strength and courage to face severe persecution of that type. And, message again and again on college campuses and in his books was that we need to be strong. And as pastors, I think that involves we want people to be strong in the faith, strong in God's word, that they need to learn by heart mm-hmm. portions of God's word, to learn by heart the liturgies of the church, to learn by heart hymnody, so that if our books were burned and our clergy were killed, these things would go on. When you have liturgical worship, and when people memorize and learn by heart God's word, the catechism, hymns and hymnals and liturgies, the church survives in spite of all that persecution. Without the clergy, without the books, it still survives because it's in the hearts of the people who pass all on right. the faith generation to generation.
Yep. So work with me here, okay? I know you're not, but try. So God is sitting in his throne in heaven. As the American churches are swollen with people on Easter Sunday morning. And he peeks over his heavenly cloud there and he looks down to the American churches and he says to himself either, A, oh, it's good to see my people back in church. It's good to see that the believers have gathered on this Easter Sunday morning. Or he says, B, what a shame. Less than half of those people even know why they're sitting there in that pew. Which do you think it is, Pastor Lukomsky, A or B? Come on, work with me now.
All right, okay. Well, as good Democrat that I am, I will say both.
I think the Republicans have been saying a lot of that lately, too. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that's a fair question.
See, won't work with me. See,
I know, I'm sorry.
Well, he's attacking my question.
Well, it's just the fact that God just gathers his flock. He's not up there wondering about who is and who isn't. He calls, he uses the word as his means, and he brings people to faith. And so there's some people that are really, really strong in their faith, some people that end up being pastors because they're so strong in their faith. Although there's probably some people that end up being pastors because it's pretty easy work. You only have to work one Sunday. And then, of course, we've got that extra work on Holy Week, Good Friday, Monday, Thursday. I'm saying, Chuck, my whole concept of how God works wouldn't even allow him to make that question. He's just out there spreading his word, calling people to know that he loves and forgives them, and he's bringing people in right and left, and everybody's at different levels. I don't see the church as a bunch of people who don't know what's going on, a bunch of people who really do. I see it as a bunch of people who are progressing, and God is slowly, gradually bringing us all to an understanding. My understanding of the gospel now that I'm 56 years old is totally different than it was when I was 21. Okay. But I was a believer when I was 21.
No answer from Pastor
Lukomsky. Okay, all right. Well, I'm a Democrat. What do you want?
Let's move on to Pastor Waller here. Pastor Waller, can you give me an answer to that question?
Well, I kind of agree with John on
There you go, Chuck.
You know, here's the way I look at it. I used to keep this as a screensaver on my computer, a big picture, a beautiful picture of a galaxy. And, in a galaxy...
You're going to say a gal.
But
that's on the home thing. Computer.
You know, on the galaxy, you've got this core of bright, all these stars, very tight together. But you've got these stars way out there on the edges. And that's the way the church is. I have grown to appreciate that reality. You cannot box it. You can't draw these neat lines around the church all the time. There are those who are close to the Lord, and there are those who need to be closer to the Lord. And the Lord works with all of them, and that's a mystery. The only thing we have to worry about is doing what God wants us to do.
Okay, Pastor Worth, will you work with me? Let me see if I can just kind of redefine this question. Because John speaks the truth, Pastor Walter speaks the truth. My question goes to those stars, those galactic stars that are out there on the periphery. I think that group is growing. I think it's getting bigger. I would like to think that you men, as clergymen, as pastors, would be hard at work on trying to make that group smaller if there is a way to do that. And I think it's getting larger. That means that that group is more susceptible when a guy like, say, Bart Ehrman, for example, who was just on National Public Radio and has written another new book, when he comes out and he undercuts all the things that you've been trying to teach and preach and deliver to the folks, if that group of sort of undecideds or skeptics or whatever is growing, that's not a good thing. That's what I'm trying to figure out here. What say you?
Okay. With that slant on it, I would say, yes, I see what you're saying. We are trying to bring people closer to the Lord by the preaching of the gospel, and there are people out there in our society that are doing the opposite. They're trying to undermine people's confidence in the authority of God's word and in, you know, why should you even listen to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus? It's so hopelessly confused. How can anybody know the truth anyway? And yes, the society in which we live seems to be more and more influenced by those guys and less influenced by what we had become accustomed to, thinking that most people do hold the Bible to be God's word. Most people do think the gospel is worth listening to and is reliable and trustworthy. And the more people in our society, through public education, through the various forms of the media, you know, popular entertainment and music, and the fact that people are less and less inclined to go to church, less and less and likely to be biblically literate, more and more likely to be tuned in to whatever's going on, whether it's sports or entertainment or whatever's going on in the culture around them. Yes, you've got a point there, that even when they come to church, they don't. We can't count on the fact that they know the story or are convinced that it's completely true. And that does present some challenges that perhaps previous generations didn't face in exactly the same way.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Sandy, you're on the Bible study.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to go back to what was commented on just a short time ago about the potential of an overarching, state control, possibly through taxation over church properties and the changes it would bring, even possible persecution to God's people. I would like to relate a true incident. Not last week, week before, I spoke to a family member who works at SLU, and this person is a technician, and so they have patients. And one of her patients happened to be an early 80-year-old woman, and very lively, and, you know, she has a real good rapport with her patients. Anyway, this woman went on to examine what is going on or what she sees going on with the power grab over our society, industry, financial institutions of our government now. And this was her quote. She said she came from Cuba 50 years ago. She said what she sees happening in our nation is frightening, and it is a flashback. And she says this is what we left 50 years ago. And she says she doesn't know how to let people know what is happening when you're talking about overarching control on all levels over our lives. And I just wanted to pass that on.
All right.
True incident. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. And so she has crystallized the focus here, because we don't want to talk about economics and government so much, but we want to talk about the church. And I think that there are people, maybe I am one of those, who sees what this woman sees, but we don't know what to do. We don't know how to respond. It appears that the foundation of biblical truth is eroding under our feet here in our own culture. It does not bode well if you have children or grandchildren, that it causes you, I think, to worry that the biblical truth may not exist a couple of generations from now. It makes us want to respond. It makes us want to do something. But like this woman from Cuba, we don't know what to do. Pastor Walter, what do you suggest?
Well, I think that you can't control the outcome, and you can't be always...
I'm not looking to control it.
You can't be worried about what's happening. All you can do is ask yourself, what tools has God given me? How can I use those tools to accomplish His will? You were mentioning, I think, a little bit before, you know, how to reach these outer orbit people. And one of the things that I have been doing a lot more is being much more careful about assumptions. You know, for example, when I was younger, the most popular evangelism method was, Jesus has a plan for your life. And I look at that now,
okay.
I just laugh, because that is so wrong, it's not going to work at all. I mean, who cares? They don't even know who Jesus is. Who cares? They don't know he's God or anything like that. You know, and we have some really good things to begin with. Like, for example, in the Catechism, just to begin with, how do you know there is a God? And things as simple as creation, your conscience. Nobody can deny these realities. You can't deny the creation. How did it get here? You can't deny your conscience. Why do people have a sense of right and wrong and things like that? We have to go back deeper to these foundational truths and build everything up from there when we talk with people. And, you know, we make the mistake of starting so far down the road in the course of understanding who God is and believing in him. We've got to go back to the very roots, like I said, the foundational truths with people. And those are things they have to wrestle with. I like to think of what makes an atheist nervous. You know, those are the kind of questions I want to talk about. What does an atheist do on Thanksgiving Day? Those are the kinds of things I like to
football
ask them about. You know.
You took the words out of my mouth.
You know.
Pastor John Lukowski, you're sitting there. I'm looking at your face, and I'm thinking, well, Pastor John Lukowski's either got a really deep, profound nugget to share with us, or he's thinking to himself, what are we talking about?
Well, it is, you know, and it reflects, I think, that I'm in a different environment because, honestly, like I said, New Athens, Darmstadt, we're pretty solidly Christian communities.
You
no
think
one's
you're
gonna,
safe?
Well, yeah, I think we're safe at this point. I didn't realize things were getting so bad in Collinsville, Mike. Wow. And yet, I do know that you're right, this decay that you're talking about is going on. I've got a daughter who works at a major college campus up in Minnesota, and I won't mention the place or the college to embarrass her, but she's just totally secular there. And there's no friendliness to her being a Christian at all. I'm sure they're working today and people would kind of, you know, say, what? Are you going to church? What, you know? So I know that's going on, but it's just not going on where I'm at. So it's kind of hard for me to deal with that. The other thing, though, is and maybe it's because it's not going on. Maybe if I had to deal with it, I would be more alarmed. But like I said, I kind of like this. I like the fact that we got this Bart Ehrman and he's, being critical of the Bible and everything. Well, what I like about it is I like skeptics. I enjoy skeptics. I can sit down and talk with a skeptic for hours because everything that I believe is very intellectually sound. There's nothing that I have to feel embarrassed about. I think you were saying something, I can't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but I think part of the problem is a lot of the people that are waving the Christian flag make me uncomfortable too. And no wonder people are saying, well, I don't want to be part of anything that's like that. But they're not representing what the truth of Christianity is. They've got all this kind of weirdness and that's what Christianity gets identified with, and that's why a lot of people aren't even giving us a fair hearing anymore.
All right, let's take a telephone call here and talk with Arthur. Hi, Arthur, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Another 80-year-old person born and raised in this country. And at some point during your conversation, someone asked, what should we do? We should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And in my opinion, we have slipped up badly on this, both lay people and the clergy. It's almost as if we're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a verse in the Bible about endowed with power on high to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, the Christians have pulled down very few strongholds in the last century. The homosexuals are out there sending their missionaries every place, pulling down strongholds of the Christians. And if we say anything about it, they're offended and we're homophobes. In my opinion, we got to be just as bold as the homosexuals in proclaiming our message.
All right, let's see what our roundtable folks have to say here. Pastor Worth, let's begin with you.
I think he made an excellent point, and the fact is that we should contend for the faith and proclaim the truth. And we don't even have to be argumentative about it. Sometimes it's just proclaim it. Proclaim the truth for what it is. And as Pastor Lukomsky said, we don't need to be ashamed or afraid. You know, the faith that we proclaim is something that will stand up to scrutiny. And at the same time, you know, it's not so much about arguing or proving even, it's proclaiming law and gospel, and let the Holy Spirit works through that proclamation. He convicts people of their sin and leads them to repentance and leads them to believe that Jesus really is who the Bible says he is, the Son of the living God, who is the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed on the altar of the cross to atone for the sins of all humanity. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He died for us, he rose again. And proclaiming that truth is the means by which God works in people's hearts, even in the hearts of skeptics and agnostics and people. God can bring them to believe too, because faith is a miracle. You know, we confess as Lutheran Christians, it's not by my own reason or strength that I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. And he doesn't just do that for me, but for the whole Christian church on earth. And so I think our caller made an excellent point, and I think we do, pastors and lay people together, we need to be bold in proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and raised, and not to be ashamed of the gospel.
Here's another caller at 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Herman, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Earlier, one of you mentioned the catechesis, teaching, discipleship. I think earlier this morning, Pastor Worth, with his guest, Ken Ham, was giving an excellent presentation every Friday morning on the issues about Genesis and creation, and that is very, very helpful. I think another department that needs to be opened is, like, mention this Bart Ehrman's, a skeptic scholar, and the presentation that he's being lionized as he presents his attacks on the New Testament particularly. They're flawed, and they need to be taken on head on and taken apart and shown why they're flawed, and that needs to be put out for the Christian community. That's why when these people come on like Newsweek or National Public Radio and say these things, we need our best people out here to take them on head on.
All right. Thanks for the call. Any one of you gentlemen want to address that particular remark?
I think that's a really good point. It's not necessarily going to solve the problem. It's not going to make the Bart Ehrmans go away, and it's not going to convince everybody that wants to listen to him. But, you know, to me, what he is doing here is, you know, you could look at something and you can see all the bad things in it, or you can see the good things in it, and ultimately faith is something that God has to work in people's lives. And so our biggest concern should be, how can we make sure that that implanted word, which is able to save your souls, you know, is presented there and not corrupted or cluttered up with bad things? We want a clear signal delivered. Now, how it gets received, that's not our business to control that.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Roy, you're next here on our Bible study roundtable. Good morning.
Good morning and blessed Good Friday.
And to you, sir.
You know, this is a great conversation, but, you know, I guess because of Holy Week, I can't get too bummed out. I can't get too bummed about
what are you talking about? Today's Good Friday. You're supposed to be bummed out.
Oh, no, no, no. Today is finished. Today it's finished. I just can't get too bummed about the government either because, as the prophet Isaiah told us, the word shall go forth and not return empty. I recall Abraham's discussion with God over Sodom and Gomorrah when Abraham was saying, well, what if there's 10 people that believe? Well, for the sake of those, I won't destroy it. So we have great news going on, and the Holy Spirit's job is just to plant the message. And, you know, I'm reminded, I have lots of friends I see all the time that were baptized in the triune God. They happen to be, and I'm not picking on Roman Catholics, but they happen to be Roman Catholics and some other denominations that I know received the gift of faith, yet they don't believe. And so, you know, my job is not just to the heathen who's never heard the gospel, but perhaps to my neighbors that live with, you know, that I see all the time, to bring this good news, to remind them that, you know, they are sinners in need of a Savior. So I'm optimistic because the truth has set us free.
All right. Thanks for the call. Pastor Worth, you want to respond to Roy there?
Amen. I mean, he makes a good point that instead of being gloomy and doomy about all of this, we can be thankful that the Lord has promised his word will not return to him empty. And he gave a good example there when you think of with even with Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff like this. You know, God still proclaims the word, and his word still accomplishes what he desires. And to be optimistic and to believe that if we just proclaim the word to those close to us and those far away, those who are convinced and those who are not convinced, God will bring people to faith and to a stronger faith in Jesus Christ.
We are down to about 2 minutes left here before we get to the top of the hour. And in the next hour, we will listen to some of the words of Bart Ehrman. He is an author. If you go to Wikipedia, that extraordinary source of truth and no falsity, then that's where I went, okay, if I have to apologize for it. But Wikipedia says that Bart Ehrman is an American New Testament scholar and textual critic of early Christianity. He is the James A. Gray Distinguished Professor and Chair of the Department of Religious Studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He has written about how the original New Testament texts were frequently altered by scribes for a variety of reasons, and argues that these alterations affect the interpretation of the texts. Now, Herman, I believe, suggested that Christians who do not hold to the assertions coming from people like Bart Ehrman or that great theologian Bill Maher, for example, don't seem to be in the ball game. If this is a tennis match, it seems that Bart Ehrman, Bill Maher, and their ilk are serving up the ball, and then all the people in the arena look, you know how tennis heads, you know, go back and forth. They look to the other side of the court, and we're not there. And the ball never comes back. Apparently, we think we're sending it back, but in the minds of some, perhaps Herman and myself among them, we don't send the ball back. Either that or we're standing there and we watch it go by, and then we ready our racket for the next serve, and we watch that one go by as well. Pastor Walther, is that a fair, I'm going to use the word accusation?
Yeah, I think that's a good description of what happens all the time in life. You know,
world serves it up, and well, Christians watch it go by.
It's going like the gentleman who quoted that verse, that great verse from Jude. You know, that we are told to contend for the faith. If we are told to do that, then we must assume that there are going to be challenges to the faith arising constantly, and that's the way it works. And I think we have to be very careful not to sit back and think, everything should just always go along smoothly and no waves to be encountered along the way. We're going to have those, and we need to constantly be preparing ourselves.
This is a Bible study roundtable. We'll listen to some Bart Ehrman audio on the other side of the break here, our top of the hour news break, a two-hour Bible study roundtable. Some of the challenges that are challenging the faith these days. Pastor Michael Walther is with us, Pastor John Lukowski, Pastor Warren Worth, and we'll be back right after the news.
Same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.